This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Sharit and Shaoning. Now, this morning on The Morning Run, we are running a poll. We are asking you, where do you primarily get your groceries from? Your options are hypermarkets, supermarkets, convenience stores and wet markets. There's about an hour left on the poll, so if you haven't weighed in, please do. So far, of the 90 and so votes we've received, 36% said they primarily get their groceries from hypermarkets, 50% said from supermarkets, 8% from convenience stores and 6% from wet markets. Now, the reason why we're asking this is because the hypermarkets in Malaysia could be facing a bleak future. They're either closing down their businesses or taking another look at their business model, and they've been forced into this position due to, among other things, high operational costs, waning customer appetite, as well as a fight back from smaller outfits which have made certain locations untenable.
Yeah, so if we look into the story, the traditional big players in the Malaysian hypermarket scene, such as the GCH Retail and Aeon Co., have been seeing tough times in the recent years. So CGH Retail happens to be one of the largest hypermarket chain operators, and the group, which operates Giant Hypermarket, has closed down seven of its retail chains since 2017. It also has they've decided not to continue leasing contracts for five of its outlets in the same year. And, at the moment, there are no reasons given for these closing of these branches.
Yeah, in May, their retail MD, Pierre-Olivier Duplex, said that the new group will now channel investments to refresh Giant Malaysia outlets by increasing product range, having a new shop layout and vibrant colour themes. Aeon Co., which owns the Japanese-owned hypermarket chain, has also downsized its departmental stores in many locations. It has also refurbished the stores to concentrate on food items.
So looking at the statistics as well, Retail Group Malaysia has numbers which show that the hypermarket segment has been slumping since 2017. The Malaysia Retail Industry Report for June, which measured domestic retail performances from January to March, also warned of negative growth for the supermarket and hypermarket segment in the near future. Because this could be because cities are just saturated, really, with shopping malls and hypermarkets, because it feels like there's one, you see one every 10 minutes or so when you drive through the KL city centre, for example. And these hypermarkets have been overbuilt and they've become less appealing compared to shopping malls. So operators are countering this overcrowding of hypermarkets and dwindling sales by right-sizing their businesses in order to meet current demand.
Yeah, so I don't know whether or not it's a case that they haven't been transforming. For an example, they have introduced online platforms which remove the need to have, which give them access to those who are not able to come over to physical stores. But hence, it raises that question whether or not there is a need for physical store, and which I think is one of the what is stated here is contributed to the decline. And Giant does not have its own online platform just yet. So, and currently, they have partners which are Happy Fresh, which is another sort of logistic service which provides which collects all the goods from Giant and onto the homes.
Small chain retailers also have played a part in this decline, right? Because we have seen the emergence of KK Mart, 99 Speed Mart, which offer a whole new way of convenient shopping because they tend to be located very near people's homes and they're dotted all over the country. So they've been mushrooming around the country, which has made a dent into the revenue of these hypermarkets. And in particular, 99 Speed Mart, prices of some items are even lower than hypermarkets. Now, this, of course, has made the hypermarket operators sit up and look at the challenge, which also meant that Tesco is also looking to open smaller stores. So the government has actually changed the rules to allow foreign hypermarket operators to set up smaller stores, and Tesco is the first one to take this opportunity, and it plans to open its first Malaysian supermarket in the Klang Valley by September. Now, the government is only allowing the operators to run these smaller stores in the Klang Valley, Penang, Johor Bahru and Ipoh. And Tesco Malaysia CEO Paul Ritchie is optimistic of the supermarket expansion plans. He believes that the mix of hypermarket and supermarket operations will form a more well-rounded business for the group. Now, he has noted that consumers are starting to shift towards more convenient shopping, such as online shopping and delivery. Now, the key takeaway about this, if you actually look at Tesco Malaysia results, because it is part of Sime Darby Group, is that it's actually been loss-making since 2015. Now, I don't have 2018 figures, but 2017, Tesco Malaysia posted a loss of 136 million ringgit on a back of 4.4 billion in revenue. Mm. So the hypermarket business is definitely a very tough one. If you think about it, it has actually a very high fixed cost because you have to have a huge inventory, as you can imagine when you go into these hypermarkets, how many items there are. Yeah. And of course, there's also rental because they tend to be large footprint. In size.
And this is something I think that while we are starting to see this here in Malaysia, this has been a problem in Europe for quite a while now, because there's been a lot of discussion over the fact that some of the UK, particularly their four biggest supermarkets, they all lost market share to discount brands like Aldi and Lidl. And these are huge supermarkets and hypermarkets, and they are losing out to Aldi, they've got a very different approach towards the supermarket business. They focus very specifically on maybe one or two varieties of a particular kind of product, because their emphasis there is basically getting you in and out as fast as possible.
And the cheapest cost item, right?
Exactly.
It's all about affordability. So if you look at the supermarket trends overseas, clearly, like what you pointed out, Lynn, the survivors are those that are really cheap. Okay, so you buy mass and bulk and you're not fussy about the branding. Like, for example, I guess like detergent, toilet paper, you know, things where it doesn't really matter what brand. Or you go niche, where you sell a particular service, or you have a special item that people are willing to pay for. So the middle people just get caught. And then, you know, it doesn't help that you can also buy so many things online now. For example, if you wanted pet food and you didn't want to carry it, you could buy it online at the specialty e-commerce operators.
Especially, and this is also especially driven as well by urban lifestyles, because we're seeing increasing urbanization, people moving into city centres like KL, and they don't necessarily have the time to go to a physical shopping supermarket.
Yeah, for example, if you just want a loaf of bread, do you need to navigate the hypermarket just to find this loaf of bread when you can just run down to 99 Speedmart and see the item and pick it up immediately?
Yeah, it's also, I think it's looking to our consumer pattern as well. I mean, as we understand this, all these big store economies, they depend a lot on people buying a lot of stuff. And I think looking at the purchasing power that we have, especially the middle income, whether or not can we buy bulk, you know, in the with the attempt to save money, because sometimes when you buy bulk, that's the idea, isn't it, and that you buy a lot of things and you get it for much cheaper price. But I don't think that is the case. Number one, our consumption pattern is that we probably can't afford to buy too many things, and number two is that, again, Tesco has this appeal. It's not really a warehouse sort of place. It does give you experience. I mean, they still have those trying booths where you get to try stuff, which you know people do enjoy. So, I mean, it does offer some form of experience. It adds to the cost.
But a lot of the times when you shop for your daily groceries, right, you know what you want. You're not going into it to try a new experience. You're going into it to get your staples, so your bread, your milk, your pet food. So these are things that a lot of people, it's not necessary for someone to be physically present in a store. And we've seen the development of convenience now to, it's not just going down to a 99 Speedmart, it's picking up your phone, navigating to a supermarket app and clicking the items that you want, and it's delivered right to your front door. Especially because the e-commerce sector in Malaysia, it's grown significantly. Our e-commerce transactions rose from about 38 billion ringgit in 2010 to almost 86 billion ringgit in 2017. That's an average annual growth rate of 12.5%. So this is going to be a very interesting sector to watch, because it's probably going to be seeing a lot more disruption in the future. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.